We should put as a part of our vocabulary these words. Revival is on the way. Do you remember me saying that? Revival is on the way. Let's say it. Revival is on the way. I say this on good authority. I say this because I believe God responds to the prayers of His people. And many of us are praying, Lord, send revival. Because there's nothing wrong with this church that a genuine Holy Ghost revival will not fix. Amen. It's a good congregation and a lot of good people, and as I told you a week or so ago, I'm learning to love you. And I am beginning, my wife and I are beginning to really love you. And I know that God wants us to be revived. We're doing a lot of good things. We're doing all the good kind of things that churches do until revival comes. But when revival comes, it messes up everything. It really does. It stirs up everything. Let me say it that way. We get stirred up in our heart, and revival is on the way. We've been receiving recently prophecies from across the country, from up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and from out in California. And then this week, a prophetic word came to Brother Parkey from a person not far off, I think over maybe across the lake in Rockwall from here, one who prays for him on a daily basis. And she said to him, she said, God has given me a word for University Park Church. She said, the Lord gave me Jeremiah 31 for University Park. Here's what it says. I will build you up again. I will build you up again. And you will be rebuilt. How many's up for that? That's what it says right up. It was saying it right up here on the screen. It was right up there on top. It was saying, I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel, again. You will take up your tambourines. We got one or two tambourines around here. It says, you will take up your tambourines. You will take up your drums and your piano, your instruments, whatever. Probably even take up these. We'll take up these 10-stringed instruments and we'll begin to worship and praise the Lord, because God says, I'm going to build you up again. Oh, I'll not read this whole chapter. I did in the first service, but if you want to see what God says, read Jeremiah 31, where He says, I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt. But many of us are not sure about what revival is. We don't know for sure what that means, because this church has never experienced revival. Never has. And many churches have not ever really experienced revival. Though they do a lot of good things, and I don't mean by that churches are dead. I mean by that many of God's good churches and good people, though they are not spiritually dead, they are for all practical purposes asleep. Resting easy. Because, well, our bills are paid, and we have a nice choir and wonderful musicians, and we have people that get up and holler at us, and so everything's going well. And that's what you do until revival comes.
But when revival comes, there is a spirit of excitement that hits the church. And I'm not saying that excitement is revival, but I'm saying there is no such thing as revival apart from excitement. It will happen. God will do exciting things. But you can tell whether or not a church is in revival by what the people are excited about. Amen. And for the most part, people are excited about the Cowboys, the Rangers, the races, the Stars, the Mavericks. Excited about different kind of things. But listen, when revival comes, people are more excited about church than anything. They wouldn't even think about going to a Rangers or Cowboys game when revival gets on. Not because there's anything wrong with that. I'm not condemning that or condemning anybody that may participate in those kind of things. But when revival comes, you don't even think about that. That's not even in your mind. Because your greatest desire is to be in the place where God is meeting His people, and there's such a spirit of excitement in that body at that time that you can't wait till you get to church. Hallelujah. You just want to be there because there's a spirit of excitement in God's house. And He does some very strange things. When revival comes, strange things will take place. Amen. And you'll know revival is on when Brother Ron and me dance across the front of this building. Revival will be on when that happens. Hallelujah. Because there's an exciting something that is taking place, and we get carried away and get outside of ourselves. Amen. But he said, now, listen, do you mean that revival means that people are going to actually get excited about things? That's exactly what I mean. And now I know that you can always, in those times of revival, you can have some wildfire. Anytime you've got some real fire, you'll have some wildfire. But right now we don't tend to have either one. And I'd rather have some wildfire as no fire. I want some fire among God's people. He wants to bring fire that'll create an excitement in our heart. And we won't want to sit still in church and snooze. We'll want to be right in the middle of what God is doing, because a spirit of revival has hit the place and every one of us feel it. Amen. Hallelujah. When Victor and Fran starts dancing across here, you'll know revival is on. Wonderful, good people. We love them so much. And that doesn't mean they're backslid. No, it doesn't mean anything like that. It just means when revival comes, you act different. And it's not an act. It's real stuff. It's the real thing. You really get on fire for the Lord, and things begin to move, and strange things begin to happen. Let me read you the account that happened. This is an extract from a letter from Colonel Robert Patterson of Lexington, Kentucky, to the Reverend Dr. John King. It's dated September 25th, 1801. It starts, "Reverend Sir, by the following, I mean to communicate to you as accurate and comprehensive as an account of the revival of religion at present in the eastern part of the state of Kentucky and round about where I live as I am able. On the 1st of May, at a society on the waters of Fleming Creek, on the east side of Licking, a boy under the age of 12 years became affected in an extraordinary manner. Publicly confessing and acknowledging his sins, praying for pardon through Christ and recommending Jesus to sinners as being ready to save the vilest of the vile. Adult persons became affected in a like manner. The flame began to spread. The Sabbath following at Mr. Campbell's meeting house, a number became affected. The third Sabbath of May on Cabin Creek, 6 miles above Limestone, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper was administered by Mr. Campbell and Mr. McNair, at which time about 60 persons were struck down. About 60 people were struck down by the power. I know what it was. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this began to happen, and crowds began to gather. And they would gather on Saturday to be there for sacrament on Sunday. And they'd be there praising God 24 hours a day, worshiping the Lord, people getting saved, until Wednesday of the next week before they'd go home. They begin to come by the thousands. 8,000, 10,000, 12, and finally they believed that on one of those occasions 21,000 people got into their Cadillacs and drove into that great meeting. No, with horse and team. 400 wagons on one occasion and were counted. And people were coming from miles around. It was not that settled a place. There was not a lot of people, but they came for miles. And up to 21,000 people came together. And when they did, here came the critics. And I'm sure there were some very religious people saying, that's all the flesh. And they were criticizing. In fact, one guy, he decided, I'm going to see just how struck these people are, whether or not they're not real conscious. So he made him a long pole and he put a sharpened nail in the end of it with the intention when someone fell out, he'd give them a good gouge like that and see if they didn't come back to life. He was all prepared to do that when in a service suddenly he felt something coming over him. It scared him. He ran out of the meeting, but before he got into the woods, he fell out, struck down by the Holy Spirit, and came up confessing Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior and Lord. Listen, we need some unusual things happening. Am I shouting too loud about this? Lord, strike some of us down. Hallelujah. Let us fall out in the Spirit. Listen, when He does it, I'm for it 100%. I'm not interested in some psychological building up, getting people ready for something to happen. But I believe when God moves in the place, there will be people who will be struck down by the Spirit of God, and they won't get up until the Holy Spirit is off from them again, and then they begin to move about. Unusual things happen in revival. Somebody said, well, I'm not sure if I want a revival or not, if that kind of thing is going to happen. I'm saying it has happened, it does happen, and it may happen. Because God has to do something to stir a spirit of excitement among the people, because you see, excitement wanes after a period of time. Most of us, when we got saved, we were excited. You go like this way. Most of us were excited when we first got saved. We got some excitement on us, but after a while, we just sort of looked around and nobody else was excited, and we decided, well, that's not too good. In fact, we might have even heard some more mature Christians say, well, it'll wear off after a little while. He'll be just like us. And so he decides, well, maybe I ought to try to look like everybody else, and they're half asleep, so when I go to church, I'm going to about half close my eyes and act like I'm in a real spiritual trance. Lord, help us. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about the real thing. And when revival comes, there will be a spirit of excitement that will grip the hearts of people, and you don't have to try to get them to come to church. And I can tell you something else. They'll not only get there on time, they'll be there early. Well, that was a weak little old bit of applause, I tell you. Amen! Hallelujah! Yes! I'm ready for revival. I'm ready for that kind of thing. If God wants to come in and just interrupt everything, in fact, we pray usually back in, before we come in here in the morning, we're praying, God, interrupt the service! Come into this service, and if you need to, shake us. I'm ready for a shaking, aren't you? Because revival is not some imaginary thing. It is a genuine move of the Holy Spirit that will shake the flesh. And sometimes the flesh can't endure it. It'll fall out. It'll be like the man said, he was struck down. When 11 or a boy not yet 12 years old began to preach under the anointing of the Spirit of God. He relates another incident here where he said there was a 7-year-old girl. A 7-year-old girl indicated she had something to say to the congregation of quite a number of people. In fact, it was in the thousands by that time. Her father put her up on his shoulder and she began to preach the gospel. A 7-year-old girl began to preach the gospel. And she preached with such power and such anointing that finally she had little strength left in her flesh. And an older man standing nearby said, "Well, poor thing, you need to have her lay down and rest." She heard this man say that, straightened right up, turned right around and looked at him and said, "Jesus Christ is my brother, God is my heavenly Father, and there's masses of people here that need to be saved, and I'm going to preach the kingdom." A 7-year-old. Many people fell out in the Spirit, hallelujah. Listen, revival will touch the children. And young people would rather be in the revival than to be at any concert that might be held in the area if they were offered free tickets. I know what I'm talking about because I've been in revival. I've had at least 4 churches in my years. I said this morning, I said every church, and then I was reminded that 1 or 2 of them didn't have a major revival. I'm talking about 2 or 3 of these churches had major revivals. Actually, 4 of them had major revivals. They all happen the same way. Unusual things start taking place. In the last really big revival we had in a local church, on the first night of that revival, quite a number of people got saved. And one young man had been sidelined. He was a football player. And the evangelist said, "Sit down here, let's look at your legs." And one of them was considerably shorter than the other. He'd already been to the Dallas Cowboys doctor who told him, "You've got one leg shorter than the other." And so he sat down there in a chair. And God just grew that leg out just like that, just like it was the other one. He played the rest of the season. I've told you about him before. That's what happened. And he went back to the doctors at the Cowboys. He went back to that same place, and they measured out his legs and said, "Well, they're fine. They're just right. They're the same length now." You see, God does some unusual things when revival takes place. I've heard that criticized an awful lot when you try to somebody gets a reputation of lengthening people's legs. You don't lengthen people's legs. God does that. I've seen it happen over and over. Even in my own ministry, I've seen legs grow as much as 1.5 inches. Just like that. Just come right out, just that fast. Somebody said, well, they just kind of twisted around. Got it. No, they walked straight after that. Their back didn't hurt after that. They got healed after that. Amen. Most of us do have a short leg because we've been sitting on that big pocketbook all the time. We men. And we get out of whack because we got so much back here on our hip. Get bigger offerings, probably fix that. Amen. Just thought to throw that in. Amen. God bless us. Listen, revival is an unusual thing. I could read a lot more of these incidents, but I'm not going to do that. I just want to, the scripture says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, reveal yourself. In judgment, remember mercy. That's what the prophet is praying. And that's what I'm praying right here for this local assembly of believers. There's quite a few of us that are praying, Lord, send revival. That prayer will be answered. Why do I say that? Because God wants to revive His church. He wants to do that. We're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us. And when we get in that, in the right place where we're saying, Lord, whatever you have to do, whatever you need to do, then we say, Lord, do it. Do it. Whatever it is. If you've got to stir me up, if you've got to shake me, then stir me up and shake me. Because I want to see revival. Now I know one of the things that's going to happen when revival comes, people are going to start getting saved. All at once, Christians that might have been found themselves not so sin conscious suddenly become sin conscious, and they begin to want to put things away that seemed like weren't that important or wasn't that much of a deal, but suddenly little things become exceedingly sinful, and we want to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's what happens when revival comes. Amen. That's what takes place because God begins to do a tremendous work on the inside of us. And you know what I've seen over and over again? I've seen miracles happen when revival comes. I said strange things take place. That first great revival that came after His ascension, in that first revival there came a very unusual thing. Here people meeting together for prayer in the temple area. And suddenly there comes a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, fills all the house where they're sitting. And suddenly there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or tongues that were separating, tongues of fire separated and began to set on each one of them. That's kind of an unusual thing. That don't happen every day. Amen. But it did that day. That day, those cloven tongues like fire set on each of them, and they all began to speak in languages they'd not learned. They didn't know these foreign languages, but they began to speak in languages that they'd never learned clearly and were understood by the people that came together. That's an unusual thing. Those kind of things happen when revival, when there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You might be hearing people speak with tongues and glorifying God. You may be hearing people interpret tongues, give words of wisdom and words of knowledge and gifts of healing manifested among God's people when revival comes, because there has to be, in order to have revival, there's got to be a spirit of excitement. No church is revived or ever experiences revival as long as we're just sitting, soaking, and souring. No. Because revival suddenly, you don't have any criticism. When revival comes, among God's people there's no criticism, but you'll find out who God's people are right away. And you'll find out those who are critics, But I have to say, to be perfectly honest, that even among the critics, there can be good, sound Christian people who just don't understand what's going on. So I'm not going to say that to be critical of something you don't understand. Better to say, I don't understand this, but it seems God is in the place. Amen. It seems like people are getting a real desire to live for God. Listen, that's how you determine whether or not something is real. What effect is it having in the hearts of people? Does that mean they're going to always be excited from now on? No, doesn't mean that. I wish it did, but it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. It means that after a while, things will fall back into that same place where we're just sort of lukewarm, amen, and not really on fire for the Lord. That'll happen again. It will happen again. That's why you've got to have revival. You have to have it. It has to happen, or else you begin to fall fast asleep and you're not effective, and a church cannot be effective in a community. Oh, I don't mean by that it might lose members. In fact, there are more people attracted to dead churches, it seems, than those that are well and alive. Well, I'm just going by the number of cars I see in front of some of these dead churches. Or some that are not as alive, maybe as others. I don't want to seem even in the least bit critical toward any part of the body of Christ. Amen. Because there's a lot of wonderful, well-meaning people there. I know that want to see a revival. I was with 350 pastors and their wives last Tuesday night at a banquet. All the different denominations, or many of the different denominations represented in that body, from Church of Christ to Catholic. Most of those men are crying out to God for revival, for a spiritual awakening in Fort Worth, Texas, because they know there are 900,000 unchurched people in Tarrant County, and they're coming together to pray, coming together to do things that'll make a difference, and hopefully to see a revival. And they're not all from University Park that were there. Amen. There are a lot of Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Church of Christ, Nazarene, Assemblies of God. There were a lot of independents there. But they were there because they have a desire to come together and work as a body to see a revival in this city and in this county. Hallelujah. I want to see that. I want to cooperate with those people. I want to pray with them, which I do. Amen. I pray with them because God wants to bring revival. I have no doubt about it. He wants to bring revival. Revival is on the way.